chapter 6. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. One of the probably hidden things you don't know about your pastor is that I enjoy reading Shakespeare. Yeah, I know, it's pretty highbrow for somebody from East Texas. But I had an English teacher that once she sort of explained some of the plays to me, they were really quite exciting. Julius Caesar is probably one of my favorites. After Brutus explains why he murdered Caesar, they bring his body out, and Mark Antony gives his oft-quoted speech, and probably everybody knows the opening line of the speech, where he said, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears." Does anybody know the next line? It's the title of the sermon. Right after he said that, he said, he said, "I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him." Then he said, "The evil that men do lives after them. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones." In other words, evil is remembered far longer than good. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor by the Japanese, President Franklin Roosevelt addressed Congress and asked for a declaration of war. And he began the speech this way: "Yesterday, December the 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan." Infamy, the fame that is associated with a tragedy, became a part of our vocabulary. November 22nd, 1963, rings an infamous bell when President Kennedy was assassinated. And who's going to forget September 11th, 2001, the 9/11 attacks? Evil is remembered far longer than good. Go to the library or to the bookstore and count how many books there are on Adolf Hitler and how many books there are on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Friday morning, May the 18th, I was working in the study when Phyllis called and said, "Turn on the news, there's been a shooting at Santa Fe, where the grandchildren are spread out from elementary school to high school." Before I could even get into the living room, Rebecca called, and she said, "Daddy, pray. There's a shooting at the high school, and I can't get a hold of Mikhail." And you know, he always calls. The following 3.5 hours for my family will live in infamy. When he didn't show up at the assembly place, we feared the worst. Then finally, the call came. And he was all right. Parents and grandparents just aren't prepared to get those kind of calls. he and a friend had ran away and got clear. When something like that happens, you want an answer. You want an easy answer. How could anybody do that? Let alone a 17-year-old boy. Most of the time, people look beyond the personal responsibility of the one committing the crime. And they look for excuses. Well, he was bullied. Had an unfair grade. Girlfriend broke up with him. Drugs. Unhappy home and so forth. But as I was watching the news, they posted a picture on his Facebook before it was taken down. And it was a picture that he had made of his duster jacket, the trench coat that he later wore. It had medals and pins on it. The one that immediately caught my attention was the Baphomet, the goat pentagram, adopted as the official symbol of the Church of Satan, and has always been associated with Satanists and with witchcraft. The others were later identified by him underneath the picture as the communist hammer and sickle, the Japanese rising sun flag, a German iron cross, and a Cthulhu emblem. And then he explained underneath what those emblems stood for. And I think he also had a red star on his collar, the same that the shooter in Columbine wore. But he explained, he said, the hammer and sickle represented rebellion. The rising sun represented the kamikaze suicide tactics. The iron cross represented bravery. The Cthulhu emblem represented power. Cthulhu is the name of a fictional dragon demonic entity from a book by H.P. Lovecraft. And in the book, he is worshipped as an unholy abomination from beyond the stars. That kind of gave you an indication of what he was reading. And the pentagram represented, he said, evil. And it certainly does. And I'm sure in the coming months, a lot of factors and reasons are going to be known. But for the record, I can assure you that the primary reason that this tragedy took place was because of evil. All this ties to our current series about Christian warfare, which came out of the Ezra series on how to prepare our bodies, our lives, to be a habitation of God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So I pray this morning we'll provide a better understanding of the enemy of God and what we're dealing with as Christians, and even have some idea why men and women do the evil they do and how we're to respond. Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus said. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. If you go back to chapter 2, you have the first introduction of the word evil, and it's in the Garden of Eden. In chapter 2, verse 16, upon creating Adam, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And if you'll go back to our reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to pick up one verse from there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Wax means to grow, to increase. There's the waxing moon and the waning moon. It is a word in our vocabulary. It means to grow and to increase. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. In verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Then he tells us why. And the peril, the danger, increases day by day. Some of the older folks, do you remember when you went to school? Okay, when we went to school, we didn't think about nothing like that. I mean, it wasn't even in our minds that something like that would happen to children. But what's happening? It's getting worse and worse. Evil in men are getting worse and worse. It's increasing. And it's going to continue to get worse. He said that they are deceiving, and they are deceived. That's why crimes and criminals carry this infamy, this fascination with crime and with criminals. That's why it lasts longer in our minds than good. Verse 14, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Regardless of the perilous times, regardless of the evil that's getting worse and worse, regardless of the evil times getting more and more dangerous and perilous, he said, you continue doing what you have been taught to do. You continue on with the mission, the commission that you've been given by Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is also an explanation of sin and its bondage. Satan is the author of sin, and he knows how to use and manipulate it to produce evil through his human slaves. And sadly, even Christians through the flesh, through their fallen sin nature. Well, it starts with one drink. Then you have to have two. Then four. And before long, it's eight that you have to have in order to satisfy you. Then 16 and so on. Same is true of narcotics. You have to increase the dosage for it to be effective. It starts with a single lie. Then you have to tell another lie to cover that lie. Then there's four lies. You get the idea. Sin has to increase in order to maintain the thrill and the charge out of doing the forbidden. Disobedience increases to rebellion, and sin increases to evil. Now, evil and sin are synonymous. And all sin is evil. But evil describes the true nature of sin. You get the idea of corruption, of utter wickedness, of wrong, that which produces pain, distress, loss, calamity, or which anyway disturbs peace, or impairs happiness, or destroys the tranquility and contentment in humans. Evil is a depravity. It's the absence of goodness. It's corruption of the heart. It's a disposition to commit wickedness. It's a deviation from the rules of conduct that are prescribed by God in His Word. And I believe Ecclesiastes 9 describes it perfectly. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. For all that I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the rightness and that the righteous and the wise and their words, works are in the hand of God, no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Now verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there's one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. What a description. Sin and evil is insanity. It goes beyond reason and logic. That's why education is never the solution to evil. History should have bared that out, especially the last century. But the mind and the intellect cannot control a person over and above the power of sin and Satan. And back in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Remember, the Holy Spirit through Paul is not introducing a new subject here, a new truth. It's a continuation from chapter 5, verse 18, of the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a spiritual work. It's not a physical activity. It's not a mental activity. So therefore, we can't have steps. We can't have methods. Follow step 1, 2, and 3, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it begins the same way salvation begins, with us desiring to be in us. When we heard the gospel, something opened in our heart and we began to desire to have Jesus Christ and His forgiveness and His grace and His mercy and His everlasting life. And we long for that until we ask in prayer, Lord, save me. And that's all it took. We're going to have to get to a place of failure and heartache. And our methods and all of the ingenuity of our mind and intellect, we're going to have to reach an end of ourselves to where we desire as Christians to be filled with His power and have the power of His strength and His might in order to do what He's called us to do. We're going to have to realize we cannot do in our own strength what God has asked us to do. So chapter 6 is a continuation of the illustration of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. From chapter 5, verse 19 and following in Ephesians, he then shows what that looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we act and react to other people, to our church family. Then it changes how we react to our husband or wife in a marriage and our human family. It changes how we act and react with our boss and our co-workers on the job. Now at chapter 6, verse 10, he's telling us how to act and react with Satan and his kingdom of darkness that we come in contact with daily, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way we do that, we saw, is to continue on with a mission while being daily filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't turn aside to attempt to fight and oppose the devil. You'll lose every time. And you'll get out of the battle taking place in your soul between the two natures. That's where the real battle is taking place. We are to simply resist, to stand and to withstand the sin and the evil that's coming against us. And as we do our mission, we do that. Resist Satan and his demonic powers by drawing near to God and submitting yourself to Him and to His Word. Maintaining a close and an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. What's attracting the attacks are that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're spiritually effective now with the gospel. People are being drawn to the presence of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is emitting from us. Just keep on with that. Don't turn aside and fill your thoughts and attention on the devil and demons and sin and evil. For a lost person to be filled with evil is the direct opposite of a Christian being filled with the Holy Spirit. It means that we have given ourselves completely over to God. We've submitted to His governance in our life and His decisions. And a lost person can come to the same place with sin. It means that he's given himself completely over to sin. And by doing so, it also means he's given himself over to Satan. He then becomes effective in opposing the work of God and attacking, harming, and yes, even destroying the lives of God's people. We see that perfectly illustrated in the book of Job. Even though the Sabaeans were the ones who took all of Job's oxen and donkeys, and murdered all of the servants who took care of them. Even though it was a lightning storm that struck and killed all of his sheep and his servants who took care of the sheep. Even though it was the Chaldeans who were the ones who took all of his camels and murdered all of his servants who took care of them. Even though it was a tornado that struck the house where all of his children were at and fell on them and killed them. Even though it was an organic disease causing painful swelling boils to cover his whole body that struck down his health. Even though it was his wife who told him to just curse God and die. And even though it was his three friends who accused him instead of comforting him, it was Satan. In every instance, at the controls, causing these events to take place through people who were submitted to do evil. above and beyond the realm of life in us was a spiritual contest and battle taking place, completely unknown by Job. But the universal truth coming out of these events and drama that's in the book of Job is that God is greater than Satan and his kingdom and greater than sin and evil. He rules over all. And he's allowing the devil to have temporary limited dominion in the world. And he even allows evil to affect his people to serve his purpose. In chapter 42 of Job, Job had matured and grown spiritually in a way that he never could by just simply knowledge. His wife and friends were forever changed by God's display of power toward Job. And everything that he had lost in chapters 1 and 2, God not only restored, but he doubled them. What's our message today? Men will do evil and continue to do so until Jesus Christ returns. And that evil will increase and increase daily until he does. Satan will have liberty to go to and fro through the earth, wreaking evil until Jesus Christ returns. That is a fact of which there is nothing that we can do to change. But that's not what we're called to do. What are we called to do? Teach all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelize the lost in Jerusalem. That's your family. That's the ones that's closest to you. Then in Judea, your friends and acquaintances. Then in even Samaria, your co-workers and neighbors, many of whom you don't particularly like or even get along with. And then to the uttermost parts of the world, people you don't even know. That Moses is reaching, that Daniel is reaching, that Mark is reaching, Faez is reaching, Jim, Rudy, Philip, Brother Nelson. We don't know those people who are being evangelized, but we have a part in it. We then immerse them into our fellowship, in our church family or a sister church. We then are to teach them, disciple them to observe, not just learn, but to observe, to obey, to put into effect all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded in His Word. And we're to be worshiping God and ministering to others in the ministry that God has called each and every one of us to do. And don't let anything, anybody, any circumstance deter you from carrying out that daily mission, including the evil of men and the devil himself. We can only do so filled with the fullness and power of God through His Holy Spirit. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. Heavenly Father, what a difficult thing sin and evil is when it manifests itself in evil acts. But Lord, it shows us how hideous and vile sin is. Lord, it shows us it's nothing to play around with. It's nothing to flirt with. It's nothing to allow a little bit of it to come into our life or in our home. Lord, continue to open our eyes and show us the true nature of sin that we oppose in our very own hearts. May the fight, may the struggle, may the battle, may the war that's going on in our soul receive fresh breath this morning. May we not give place to the devil. May we not give place to sin and to disobedience. Lord, help us to be this morning filled with Your Holy Spirit and a desire to do so, rather than quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit. May we quench our flesh and grieve the devil. And may You fill us this morning with a desire to have this take place this morning, right now in our lives. Events like this that has happened 2 weeks ago cause us to hate sin that much more. But Lord, may You help us to see past the evil that are in men and see the wicked one that holds them enslaved. And Lord, may we strike a dagger into the heart of the devil himself by leading a lost person out of his prison and into forgiveness of sins and eternal life that's in You. Manifest Your presence to us in our life and in what we say and do. May we continue unabated down the road of carrying out the job that You saved us to do. Our health has been attacked. For the past few months, our church has seen an unprecedented amount of sickness. Lord, our marriages, our families have been attacked. Lord, the steadfastness of our call to be joined to this church has been attacked. Lord, may we not turn aside and dwell on the personalities involved, but may we continue to dwell on You who is the head of this church. Lord, we continue to stand and withstand all of the devices, the wiles, all of the schemes and plans that the devil would throw at us. We stand not in our own strength, but we stand in Your strength and in the power of the blessed indwelling Holy Spirit. May we continue, Lord, to focus on You and not evil, not sin, and not the devil, and not ourselves. Every spare moment, may our thoughts turn to You and not ourselves, not our problems, not our challenges, not our difficulties. May we see, as has already been prayed, a great outpouring and harvest of spiritual fruit of people whose lives are changed not by evil and sin, but changed by the power of your salvation and your life. Lord, may Christians grow stronger and mature spiritually to be more effective tools and instruments in your hand to carry out your will and your purpose in this area of mission field that you've placed us in. Help us to be obedient and help us to serve you with a love and a zeal that can only come from our spirit. Thank you for this church. Thank you for each and every person you've added to this church. Thank you for each gift and ministry that each individual makes available for your use. Use us, we pray this morning, Lord, filled with your spirit, to continue to do with a greater effectiveness what you've called us to do, is our prayer. In the strong and in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.